Hi, my name is Amy McCulloch, and my latest thriller is Runner 13.
Amy McCulloch's new novel, Runner 13, follows a former champion runner who's invited to participate in an ultra marathon, 250 miles through the Sahara Desert. She's been promised answers to the mystery of a hit-and-run accident involving her young son 7 years prior, as long as she finishes the race. Amy McCulloch is an adventurer herself, and she has used her own experiences as the basis of her novels, including running an ultramarathon, climbing one of the world's highest mountains, and exploring Antarctica. From KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network, this is Marginalia. I'm Beth Golay, and here's my conversation with Amy McCulloch. Runner 13 is a thriller, so listeners should know that we will keep this interview spoiler-free. With that in mind, can you give us a description of the book?
Yes, absolutely. So Runner 13 is a sort of action thriller set during an ultramarathon through the Sahara Desert. And my main character is a former champion runner who left the competitive racing scene after her son was involved in a hit and run accident, and she wasn't able to be there for him because she was out on a race. 7 years later, she's invited to a new race designed by a legendary race director called Boons, who's renowned for his sort of twists and sort of sadistic race courses. And he's designed this new race, which is going to be 250 miles through the Sahara Desert. But he lures her back with the promise that if she can finish his race, he will give her some information about who was involved in that hit and run accident that potentially sort of injured her child all those years ago. And that is just about enough temptation to bring her back into the racing world.
So let's talk about these races, the ampersand races. How are they different than traditional ultramarathons? Because, and this is making a big assumption here, I mean, the number of people who actually run a marathon is small, but I imagine that the number of people who have run an ultramarathon is even smaller. So you mentioned like some sadistic twists. How is that actually different than an ultramarathon?
Well, so an ultramarathon is quite a broad definition. It's really any racing distance that is longer than a traditional marathon, which is 26.2 miles. So even a 27-mile race could be considered an ultramarathon. But there are many races around the world that are sort of these enormous distances, 100-mile races, 200-mile races. And it seems to be almost a sort of competition amongst race directors to try and see who can push their runners, their competitors, even further. Just find that little bit extra edge of difficulty. And they're often set in these incredible locations. There's an incredible race that's run in the Yukon and the Arctic. There's the Marathon de Sable, which is another race set during the Sahara Desert. Or there are these races known as the Barclay Marathons, which is one of the huge inspirations for this book, which are run again by a sort of legendary race director who tries to make the course even that bit more difficult every year that he runs it. And it's almost an accomplishment not to win one of these races, but just to finish them. So it's always asking the question sort of what are people capable of? What are runners capable of? And how can we find that limit, that edge? And my race director, Boons, he is particularly interested in finding those extreme limits. And that is sort of what makes his races stand out from a sort of more typical ultramarathon race.
So is it accurate to say that your books so far have been inspired by your own adventures? I mean, maybe not, you know, the accidents and the murders, but the locations and the experiences.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, before this, as a novelist, I was writing mostly for children and young adults. And it wasn't until on my personal journey, I was started getting into sort of long distance walking and mountaineering. It kind of was leading me on this incredible journey that led me all the way to the Himalayas, where I found myself at base camp of the world's eighth highest mountain, Manaslu. And I realized as I was there, the sort of storyteller brain inside of me realized that a base camp was the perfect setting for a thriller because it was so isolated. The setting was dangerous in itself. You were surrounded by people who you didn't really know. There were no authorities or sort of police-like figures around. So it was sort of a locked room, but in this incredible mountain setting. And I just thought, wow, when I get back from this incredible adventure, I'm going to have to write this as a thriller. And from there, my next book, Midnight, was inspired by a trip to Antarctica that I took. And then this latest one, Runner 13, came after I ran the Marathon des Sables, which is a 250 kilometer, 6 day stage ultra marathon through the Sahara Desert, where you have to be completely self-sufficient, carrying your own backpack with your food and everything you need to survive, except for water, which they provide on the race.
So Runner 13 is kind of two mysteries in one. When we're introduced to Adrienne, it's, 7 years after that hit and run accident involving her very young son that you mentioned. And as we read on, the perspective shifts between past and present and what's happening during the hot and sandy race. How did you plot the book? Did you write one timeline before the other, or did you weave them together as you wrote?
I do tend to write in kind of a more linear fashion, but in this way, it was sort of helpful to me to kind of unravel the mystery at the same time that my main character was kind of coming across clues that were pointing back to what had happened in her past. And there are also two perspectives. So Adrienne is my main character, but there's a sort of secondary point of view character called Stella, who is a race photographer, and she offers a sort of behind the scenes look at what goes on in putting on one of these incredible races, which is a lot of logistics, and there's a lot of volunteers who get involved in the background. But she is also there, sort of with this knowledge that she feels like there's an ulterior motive behind this race director, why he set this whole race up. And she wants to get to the bottom of it before too many people start getting hurt, in her opinion. And so having those two perspectives really enabled me to kind of flip between the race, which obviously is, it's one woman running against the desert. I wanted to keep the pace and the kind of page turning aspects of it up, and Stella was able to offer that kind of behind the scenes look and do a bit more investigating and kind of help propel the thriller elements along that way.
You probably answered this question just now, but in addition to those two timelines and those two perspectives, Adrienne and Stella's, there's also a third perspective of sorts, the episodes of the Ultra Bros podcast. So how did you, as the author or the puppet master, decide to reveal information to the reader and who actually got to reveal it?
That's a really tricky balance that I always have to walk as a thriller writer. And it's not something that necessarily has always come naturally to me. And in fact, over the course of editing a book or editing a thriller, often some of those reveals change and shift perspectives as I get input and feedback from my brilliant editors at Random House. And I've really thought that the podcast was a really neat way to kind of introduce some information to the reader, because as a runner myself, and when I was preparing for the Marathon des Sables, I was listening to a ton of podcasts because it's a great way to hear personal stories about, that people's experiences on these races, to get training plans and preparation and nutrition tips. And I just thought for, the majority of my readers who might never dream of entering an ultra marathon, who's for whom this world might be something completely new, it felt like a really sort of easy and neat way to kind of drop readers straight into all the information that they need, but without becoming sort of deeply bogged in exposition. And the Ultra Bros, they also offer a sort of different, a bit more of a kind of macho perspective. They're a bit funny. They kind of make jokes about the race. I was sort of able to reveal information about, especially about the background of the hot and sandy, the ampersand races, and the backdrop of who Boons was and the kind of twists that he has done in other races in the past, without kind of bogging the book down in too much kind of heavy exposition.
I want to talk about the audiobook because I both read and listened to it. And the inclusion of that podcast in particular. Have you heard the audiobook?
I've listened to very short snippets of it because I only actually was able to download it when the book came out in the UK, which was last week.
So it's a full production with outro music and, what feels like NAT sound and bad phone connections. It feels like audiobooks are becoming extra. It's no longer just a narrator sitting in a studio reading, is it?
No, absolutely not. And I think it's really interesting for me because audiobooks became so integral to my own kind of race training process, because when you start to train for these really long distances, you're out on training runs sometimes for 2 or 3 plus hours, even more. And on long hikes, I love to listen to an audiobook. So yeah, I do feel like the kind of standard for production has really increased. And I remember I did get to listen to some different narrators for the audio edition of Runner 13 to help kind of the publisher decide. And I found that was a really interesting process, because suddenly it's your own words kind of come to life. And I found that whole process really fascinating. And Jill Winternitz, who voices the character of Stella, she has actually recorded audiobooks for my novels before. And so it was really great to kind of get her perspective as well on the latest book and share in her excitement. So that was great.
I wonder if we can talk without spoiling anything about one of the more serious plot points of the book, and that is abuse by coaches, by those in power.
Yeah, it's very serious, and it came from definitely from my experience reading a lot about sort of young athletes who get kind of pushed beyond their limits and are kind of enter into this world of a real power difference between the coaches and the athletes, and who they can trust. And there's often a lot of very young and very vulnerable people involved. And my main character is someone who kind of wants to get justice, but she doesn't necessarily go about it always the correct way. And I found that point really interesting. What do you do when you know that something is going on and you feel helpless and you feel powerless? And how do you try and take some of that power back? And those were kind of the questions that I was grappling with. Because again, I think when you're pushing yourself to your physical limit, there's also the other limits that you're trying to explore, which is, how much do you take from someone else? How much do you, how much emotional resilience and trauma do you sort of go through? And how do you kind of combat that? It is very difficult to talk about without spoiling anything, but I think Adrienne is someone who is really fighting for justice, but yeah, doesn't always make the right choices. And I think that that's a really interesting kind of complicated. It's not always as so black and white, and that's what I'm most interested in exploring.
So you have described some pretty remarkable things you have done in your life, whether it's the, the Himalayas or Antarctica or the Sahara. What book can we expect from you next? Where are you going to take us next? What's next for you?
Well, what's next? I actually decided, so I became Over the course of writing Runner 13, I actually became a new mum, which is something I also that informs very much the writing of Runner 13, because it's also about mum guilt and the kind of pressure that you face when you want to return to something like training for a marathon, but you feel that guilt or that worry when you're leaving a kind of very young child. And for me, it was important that I show my son that it's important for his mum to continue to pursue the things that are important to her, and for me to continue to have my own identity and to continue to do things that are good for my body and for my creative mind. And that is a good example that I want to set for him. But it is also a bit of a push-pull when you are having time taken away from your child. And that's something that I definitely explore in the book, because it's something that especially extreme athletes, especially extreme female athletes, face a lot of criticism when they're out there doing the things that maybe fathers do without the same kind of criticism. And it kind of exploring that nature of, what is too much and how do you balance becoming a mother and all the changes that you go through as well when you become a mother with, your own personal interests and maintaining your own identity and kind of personal ambition. One of the things I did when my son was about 1 year old was take him to Seville in the south of Spain, where I learned how to become a solo skydiver. So I got my A license, which is the kind of first step in learning how to jump from a plane totally by yourself, so without being attached to an instructor. And he became a little drop zone baby, kind of toddling around, waiting for mum to land from the sky. And that is going to be the premise of the next thriller for me.
Do you have a hope for what readers will take away from this book?
I hope that in addition to obviously getting a page-turning thriller, that even if you've never dreamed of running a mile, let alone an ultra marathon, that you find something to relate to in the story of a woman kind of pushing her own limits, in a story of resilience and persistence. And yeah, I hope it transports you somewhere into maybe a whole new world that you haven't discovered yet and want to learn a bit more about, because I find the whole universe of ultra running and the incredible men and women who participate in the sport just beyond fascinating. And yeah, that's what I hope.
Well, the book is Runner 13. Amy McCulloch, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been brilliant.
That was Amy McCulloch, author of the book Runner 13, which was published by Doubleday. Marginalia was produced at KMUW Wichita and is part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torin Anderson. Our editors are Luann Stevens and Haley Krausen. Our producers are Haley Krausen and Katie Lanning, and our marketing coordinator is Carly Cooper. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.